and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and Chavruta Yardena Azband. Our daf of the day, Masachet Bav Metzia, daf Nun, page 50. Page 50, Amud Aleph here is very short in terms of Gemara and very, very long in terms of commentary by the Balei Tosfot. If you have the means or wherewithal to start reading through it, it gets very, very interesting very, very quickly. But we're not going to talk about it, except to note that it's talking about what we already have discussed yesterday or the previous day about a sixth, right? That's the discussion here. And we're going to see that in our discussion of the Gemara from the top of the page. Ibailahu, right? This is there's a dilemma, right, that they bring before the sages in general. It doesn't have names yet. Pachot mishtot l'rabanan. And this is exactly the wording that the Balei Tosfot respond to, right? According to that opinion of Rabbanan, of the rabbis that we saw before in the Mishnah, right, that you only have X amount of time before you have to come back to have to complain about the merchandise, right? Where you can take it to an expert and you can say, is it the right value for it? Or am I being exploited, right? That there, the discrepancy between what the value of the item is and the amount that the person paid, right? So that discrepancy has to be less than 1/6 for it to not be a concern of ona'a, right? So then it says, pachot mishtut l'rabanan, la'alter havia mechila, obichte shira el l'tagar o l'krovo. Right, so this question of, do you have this like a waiver of whether that discrepancy is acceptable or not? You know, what happens when you have the transaction is finalized? They say immediately, right? La altar, that it's immediately, or is it going to be that it's only finalized after the time it takes to go and get this confirmation that it's really like bichtei shira, that you could show it to somebody else that they could examine it, l'tagar o l'krovo, either to a merchant, right, the somebody who's going to sell it, who knows the merchandise, or to a relative who has whatever expertise. Meaning, there's a recognition here that the question of whether the sale is final determines when the sale takes place, right? If you can walk it back, does that mean that your sale has taken place and it's final, but you could still walk it back? Or it's not, and it's kind of waiting for that time to elapse before you can say, aha, now the sale is final. Now the purchase is not only done, but also closed. And the Gemara says, and if we want to say that the transaction is only finalized after you've taken that time, right, the time it would take to take it to somebody, to another merchant or to your relative, whatever, right, then what's the difference between saying 1/6 and less than 1/6 in terms of the concern of coming back to the person who sold it to you, right? Like, if you're saying it's only finalized at that point, then what's the big deal to say this is an issue of ona'a that you can walk it back? Because couldn't you walk back anything if you have that leeway until the sale is actually finalized? So the Gemara is going to answer this, thankfully. Ika. The ilushtut yado ala elyona ratza chozer ratza kono mechzir ona'a ve'ilu pachot ishtut kana o mechzir ona'a. So here's the difference, right? When you're talking about a discrepancy of 1/6, right, meaning that the value of the item is it's worth 1/6 less or more, right? But 1/6 less than the, let me say that better, 1/6 or more less than the purchase price, right? Then the point is that the person who did the buying has the advantage, right? Yado ala elyona. That means he's got the advantage. He's got literally the upper hand. He can renege on the transaction. He's allowed to, meaning from the get-go, because it's a concern of ona'a, because it's a concern of him being taken advantage of, so he can walk it back if he wants to, right? And then the buyer has to take it back. But if we want to say, if it's less than 1/6, and then the buyer takes, you know, acquires that the item that he's purchasing, and then the buyer, you know, reacquires the item, right? If there's a concern of exploitation in that case, it doesn't really work, right? Because he can't walk it back. So the idea that the buyer has the upper hand only applies in the case of a discrepancy of a sixth. But if there's a discrepancy of less than a sixth, right? Meaning still there's going to be a gap between what someone pays and what the item is really worth, because he can mark it up for the sake of again, we've talked, you know, mentioned this, that, you know, there's a certain amount of investment that the seller makes to be able to sell, for example, right? So then if he were tried to give it back at that point, then he would be the one exploiting. The purchaser would be the person exploiting the sale, so to speak. And he can't nullify that transaction. He can't walk it back. The Gemara comes back to the dilemma to begin with. My, right? At what point in time do we say that that discrepancy of less than one sixth, like that we would not have a problem with that? Tashma chazru l'divrei chachamim. So Gemara says, like, let's go back to understand what Rabbi Tarfon had said, right? This is, you know, l'divrei chachamim, where Rabbi Tarfon had said the whole day is permitted. You have a one-third discrepancy before it's considered a discrepancy. So that sounds really good for the merchant, but the buyer has the whole day to renege on the transaction. And what that means then is, remember that the merchants of Lod came back and said, no, you know, Rabbi Tarfon, we don't like this expansion of the capacity for, you know, before we're going to call it exploitation, we don't like that day-long walk back to the transaction part of your ruling, because it seems that it would end up, you know, leaving them too exposed to have all their transactions kind of returned, all their purchases, all their sales really returned. And so then they bring it back to the statement of the Rabbanan to begin with, which was the one-sixth. And so therefore, right, if you're going to say that you're worried about the discrepancy of the timing, how long does it take to bring your item for evaluation by somebody who's more in the know, it has to be a fairly tight kind of window, right? And that's where the Gemara, you know, at some point goes on to discuss this. But the idea that it's, I want to say finite, all of this is finite. Oh, the fact that it's a limited time frame, again, it protects, and Yerdan, I think you spoke about this the other day, it protects the seller as well as the buyer. The buyer has the option to walk it back if need be, but the seller has that limitation which protects him as well.
Yeah, but what we're going to see later on in the daf, and this is the part that I'm going to read, is they call into question whether or not you actually do need this time limit. I mean, I think the time limit seems to make sense, because then otherwise you could sort of, you know, call this into question at any time. It could be years later. I mean, I guess theoretically that wouldn't happen, but it does seem crazy to not have a time limit. But on Amud Bet, they actually discussed whether that would be true, right? Ibailuhu, they asked. Bito mekach l'rabanan. In this case of, you know, voiding a sale according to the rabbis, right, where somebody overcharged more than a sixth, l'olam choser, it can always be retracted. O delma, bichte shire l'tager o l'krovo, or perhaps within the time needed for him to show the purchase to a merchant or to his relative, meaning after this time limit is passed, he basically doesn't have a right to anymore. So is it la'olam, or is it just within this small period of time? V'im tim say lamor, and if you want to say, right, that there can't be a time limit, why? B'chdei sh'yireh l'tager o l'krovo, because if the retraction is allowed only within the time needed for him to show, you know, the purchase to another merchant or to his relative, my eka bein sh'tut l'yeter al sh'tut. What difference is there between a fraud of a six or a fraud of more than a six? Right, I could say, right, Ika, right, there is a difference. De'ilu shetut, right, because in the case of a six, misha nita nechozer, only the party who's defrauded can retract. De'ilu yeter ashtut, but if more than a six, shnehem chozerin, both parties can contract. My, so what is the law? So in other words, do you need a time limit? Is there a time limit or is there not a time limit? So the Gemara now tries to bring a proof from our Mishnah, Toshma. Right, chazu l'divrei chachamim. They returned to follow the words of the rabbis. Iamer b'shlama bitu mekach l'rabanan. It's, you know, it's well if you say that to void a sale according to the rabbis, right? The claim basically has to be given michdei shiyureh l'tager o l'krovo within the time needed for the buyer or to show the purchase to a merchant or to his relative. Ula Rabbi Tarfon Kolayon. But according to Rabbi Tarfon, this claim could basically be submitted the whole day. Mishum Hachi Chazru. And so this explains why they went back to the words of the rabbis, right? So in other words, originally Rabbi Tarfon, he increased the time limit, okay? And they wanted Rabbi Tarfon's, time limit that he wanted because of the way he treated the case of exactly a six. Rabbi Tarfon said that there was sort of an immediate sort of waiver of any of the claims, where the rabbi said the buyer could claim a refund for the overcharge or could void the sale. But then Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon extends the time limit. And so there basically is a disadvantage for sellers for a case of more than a six, which outweighs the advantage in the case of a six. And so they went back to the word of the rabbi. In other words, they wanted to go back to the time frame of the rabbis. And so Ela Iamar Bito Mekach LeRabanan LeYalam Chazer. But if you say that voidance of a sale, according to the rabbis, he can always retract, Amai Chazru. What does it mean that they returned to the words of the rabbis? Rabbi Tarfon Nicha Luhu Tafi. Right? It's better for them under Rabbi Tarfon's system. In other words, if you're going to say that the rabbis were saying that there's no time limit, then really Rabbi Tarfon's is the better system because there is a time limit, right? But the Mishnah seems to say they went back to the rabbis to imply their time limit was less than Rabbi Tarfon's time limit and therefore was more advantageous. Why is it better than Rabbi Tarfon's system? Because Rabbi Tarfon, right, he treats cases of a sixth to a third as price fraud and gives the whole day for somebody to submit for a claim for a refund for the overcharge. Vitolo, but no longer, okay? Meaning the Gemara basically assumes that initially the merchants wanted Rabbi Tarfon's system, because in the cases of overcharging of a sixth to a third, right, they thought he gave the buyer a very short time limit, whereas the rabbis allowed for an unlimited amount of time. Okay, but when Rabbi Tarfon extended the time limit for the whole day, they went back to the rabbi system. And so basically the difference between no time limit or a time limit of a whole day was not significant for the merchants, right? But on the other hand, in the case of a six, they lost under Rabbi Tarfon because according to the rabbis, the time limit for claims in the case of a six was short, whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, it was the whole day. And so therefore, the Gemara says, Bitul Mekach Lo Shkich, an overcharge involving voidance of a sale is not common. So what it's basically saying here is that the benefit of these infrequent cases of more than a six to a third, right, that according to Rabbi Tarfon, the deadline is a whole day. You have the whole day, whereas according to rabbis, there's no deadline, right, doesn't outweigh the disadvantage to the frequent case of a six, that according to the rabbis, the buyer can basically try to get his money back for only a short time, whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, he has the whole day. So essentially, what they're going to say is that, yes, there is sometimes a case where, depending on what type of fraud it is, that determines, right, if it's all day or if it's a short time period. But based on this very close reading of the Mishnah, it's clear that Rabbi Tarfon was like, sometimes it was to the advantage and sometimes it was to the disadvantage. But ultimately, they go back to the rabbis because they want to use the rabbi's opinion for the most common case, which is the case of the six. The cases that are six to a third, they're sort of like so outrageously overcharged that those happen much less often. And so I guess the point here is that this number of the six, because Anne, I don't know if you would agree, when you first read the Mishnah, you're a little bit like, why do they start with a six? Like, why not turn to something else? But I think, why not say a fourth? Why not say a fifth? But I think based on this passage with this question of the time limit, it becomes clear that the six was actually the most common cause, the most common overcharge, which kind of makes sense because it's like, it's not too much, but it's not nothing.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, right? Like, what kind of rules do we have this is all presented in the negative, right? Like this is presented in the case of one who is trying or successfully taking advantage of another party, right? What there's no like list of here's how to do business. You want to sell clothing, pots, furniture, books. I don't know. Your markup is allowed to be 5%, 10%, right? Like there's no rules like that to know if you broke those rules, then you've gone too far. It's the discussion comes in the context of this much is overcharging. And I feel like, how could you know it's overcharging if you didn't have a rule in place of what's the acceptable approach? So I don't have a good answer for that, right? Like, I feel like maybe this is, you know, merchant to merchant. People, I don't know, right? Like they kept themselves in check most of the time. There must have been, you know, good business practice that everybody knew that was acceptable under these terms. And then this was crossing that line.
Right. I agree with you. But I think this passage explains like why the Mishnah starts with a six. I don't understand why a six, but it seems like it's clear from this passage that the six was the most common type of overcharge.
Right. I think that has to deal. I mean, there has to be somewhere like a norm that a tenth was acceptable and a sixth was too much, for example.
Exactly. I don't know why, but right. But the six seems to have been the most common one. Well, that's our DAF discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAF on our Talking Talmud on Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.